Alrighty, so once again, welcome to Transformed by the Word, and that is the title of our conference. And then each year we do a word from the scripture, and this year is trust. So before I begin, I want to thank all the people who have helped. A large shout out to my family because they are amazing and help with everything. I do have to give a big shout out to Everly, my niece, who is not here tonight, who said she is a woman and she should be able to be here, but she's 10. But she is literally my 11. Wow, that's right. She just turned 11. Okay. Thank you. I missed it. No, just kidding. She's amazing. She does everything. And most of the things that you will see as the decorations, she helped me put all of them together. In fact, she told me when I did the cups that it was a good thing she was around to help me because it would have taken her taken me twice as long because she can do just as good as I can. I was like, okay, all right. No, she's amazing. But thank you to Christina and her son who came to help us set up everything. It was wonderful. We came here yesterday, and my kids and my family and Everly and Christina and her son came. It was 8 people, and we got it all set up like just like that. It was crazy how fast we did it. I was like, oh, this is awesome. So thank you very much, and thank you to Joni, who came early. She comes every year early. Yes, Joni! And she greets you. If you're staying at the hotel, she gives you your room key. I so appreciate that. And then my mom this year helped me put a lot of the stuff in bags too. So that was fun. We got to sit there and do stuff and chat and talk. And so thank you. And just thank you to everyone who's ever come out to one of the conferences. How many people have been here? Let's see, all 7. Put your hand up real high, real high. How many people have been here? 6. How many people have been here? 5. 4. Melody, aren't you a 4? Are you a 3? I thought you came at the I thought you could, I think you're the 4. I think you're 4. Yeah. So raise your hand. All righty. And then 3, 2, and 1. Yay to all of our first timers. Woohoo! So this is just an awesome, I love this time, just to get together as women and as girls and just look into God's word. And as I shared, this year I really felt like the Lord said he wanted to talk to us about trust. It's kind of like, okay, trust, how do we narrow it down? But, you know, God and I, we do these things, I guess I got it from my dad, with acronyms, and he's like, I got 5 for you. And I was like, okay. And he's like, every letter of trust. I was like, well, that's easy. I can do that, right? And so we're going to be learning here in a minute what they are, but the conference scripture is Proverbs 3:5. And that is probably one you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's the first part. That's what we're talking about tonight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. All your heart. So like I said, there's many different factors to trust, but the 5 that I got, put your hands up. Are you ready? It's really easy. It's the letters of your hand. Ready? Here we go. Touch the thumb. This is truth. Next one is rest. Middle one, unswerving. Surrender and timing. These are the 5 factors that I felt like the Lord said that he's going to deal with us in our hearts. We'll repeat them a lot, Verna. Don't worry about it. Tonight, we're going to be only looking at truth. Tonight is about truth. So truth. When I was reading over the story that the Lord gave me, I thought, you know, there really is nothing new under the sun. Because how many people know anywhere you go, what are people saying? What is truth? What is truth? Well, I have my truth, and you have your truth, and you have your truth, and you have your truth, but they're all different truths. But can I tell you that there is one truth? And I don't care what people say. It's this. And this is the truth. Amen? So we're going to be looking at how truth affects our ability to trust. When I was thinking about the word trust, anybody ever seen Aladdin, the Disney movie? Anybody seen the new one that's like the real life one, right? And how many people's hearts just, even older people, I mean, we all still feel it, but when he's on the flying carpet And he reaches out his hand and he says, "Do you trust me?" And she's like, "Yes." Right? Right? And we all go, "Oh, that's so sweet." Okay, I'm a mom. And I'm thinking, I looked at that a little bit differently the last time. I thought, wait a minute. This dude is on a flying carpet. First of all, we need to be asking some questions about that. And she doesn't even know him. She wasn't impressed when she first saw him, right? When he came in and he was all, couldn't talk and talking about jams. And, you know, I mean, it was a mess, right? He was a hot mess. And yet she says, "Of course I trust you." Girl, you need some counseling. That's what I got to say, okay? And we all need counseling that we're all going, "Oh, that's such a precious moment." No, it's not. It's not precious. That girl needs to think a little bit about what she's doing, right? But yet we get this idea that that's what trust is. "Oh, I just go for it." No, don't just go for it. If you haven't asked the Lord, if you haven't prayed about it, you should be going nowhere, right? Back check, right? Or what is it? Background checks, right? Good grief. At least talk to his mom, you know? You can find out a lot about a kid by talking to his mom. But none of that happens. And we so, as society, accept that. And then we wonder why we're so messed up, right? It's because guess what? We don't live in a movie. We live in the real world, okay? And you cannot compare a trust in a person with trusting in the Lord. And yet that's what happens. There's this crossover that happens, right? The verse says, trust. Trust means to place a firm reliance, a confident security in the reliability, the truth, and the ability of God, even when circumstances are contrary. What does this mean? That means when you place your trust in God, He is never going to fail you. But we have to base that trust on something, right? And the foundation for that trust is truth. Did she ask Aladdin or Prince Ali, right? "Are you really a prince?" No. And you know what? She had an inkling that he was telling her not the truth, but a lie. Remember that in the movie? She thought he was somebody else. And he didn't confess. Girls, if you meet some guy, this is for the younger ones, and you have an inkling that he is not telling you the truth, then you better stop where you are and ask the Lord, "Wait a minute, what's going on here?" Guess what? It's not the movies, and he's not Aladdin. Okay? So we need to have the truth. If you have your Bibles tonight, you can open up. We're going to look at John. This story is also in Matthew, and it's also in Luke. But we're going to be looking at John tonight. And it's John 18. John 18 and verse 28. I know I said them somewhere. Oh, there they are. John 18, 28. This is going to be interesting. Okay, there we go. It does work. All right, John 18, 28, and it says, this is the story when Jesus has been arrested by the high priest, and Peter denies him, and he's being brought into to see Pilate, and Pilate at the time was the governor. So Pilate as the governor, oh, that's going to be interesting. Okay, sorry for those of you who are listening later, I'm struggling with my my earpiece. Pilate is the governor. So what does a governor know? The law. It's his job to execute the law of the land, right? So he should have an inkling about what? Truth. But as we know from our lives today, governors don't always execute the truth, right? Okay, so Pilate happens to be one of those who doesn't exactly execute the truth. Let's keep reading. Pilate went out to them. That was the Pharisees and the Sadducees and to Caiaphas, the high priest, and they're bringing Jesus. And he says, what accusation do you bring against this man? And they answered and said to him, if he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him to you. So he doesn't even get the right answer from them, correct? They're not answering. They're just saying, hey, if he wasn't an evildoer, I wouldn't have brought him. And then he says, you take him and judge him according to your law. Therefore, the Jews said to him, it is not lawful for us to put anyone to death, which is not true. They could have stoned him. Based on how Jesus answered them when they had their meeting, their private meeting, they could have stoned Jesus, but that wasn't good enough for them. Because you know what? Something a lot of us don't know, but I found out, is they were also after Pilate. They wanted Pilate too, not just Jesus, they wanted Pilate out of the area. So they were trying to kill two birds with one stone. Alrighty. And it says in verse 32, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die. 33, then Pilate entered the praetorium again and called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. And Pilate said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world. Listen, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who hears of the truth, or everyone who is of the truth, hears my voice. And Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in him at all. What is truth? Pilate was struggling with this whole situation, because I think part of him was looking at Jesus and going, I know why they're bringing him in here. I know why. There's some jealousy going on. They won't tell me what really he's here for. And so I think he was fighting in himself. There is one thought or theory that Pilate's wife, remember, she tells him later on, I don't have anything to do with this man. If more men would listen to their wives. Just kidding. But she tells him the message. Don't mess with this man. I've had a dream about him. Don't do it. And there are some people that believe that she was actually a follower of Jesus, maybe a closet one in the quiet, that she was really a follower of him. And so she was trying to tell him, don't. So Pilate is really struggling, because not only does he feel like there's something going on, but now his wife is also involved, right? So there's things that he was struggling with. He struggled with the fact that he asked what is truth, and he didn't realize truth was standing in front of him. Truth was standing in front of him. The first thing that we see of one of the reasons he was struggling is that he wasn't a disciple or a follower of Christ. If you look in verse 18 and verse 37, that's not right. Oh, I got to keep going. No, that's still not right. Don't you love it when you write down the wrong verse? Oh, 35. I got it. Okay. Pilate answered, am I a Jew? So he was saying he was not part of the Jewish faith. So we know he wasn't a follower of Christ, right? He didn't know Jesus as his Lord and Master. The next thing that we see is that he listened to lies about Jesus. This is part of the reason why he's struggling. So first, he's struggling because he's not a follower. He doesn't really know who Jesus is. The second part is he's listening to lies, half-truths. Have you ever noticed that when somebody wants to convince somebody else of something, they can twist it just a little bit to make it sound like it really is truth, but it's not? Anybody watch the news? Okay, anyway. I'm just going to keep on going. Okay, so concerning Jesus, this is what the Jewish religious leaders brought Jesus, and they said four things. He's perverting the nations. He's perverting the nations, that's what they said. Jesus spoke to the crowds, and people came to him to be healed and set free. If that's perverting, we need more of that. Right? But that's what they said. He's perverting. They said he's forbidding people to pay taxes to Caesar. Anybody remember the story about the fish that had the coin in the mouth that paid whose taxes? Jesus's taxes and Peter's. And then he said this, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. I don't think that's telling people not to pay their taxes, but you see what they did? They took something that he had talked about in front of a group and they twisted a little bit. Untruths. He is the Christ, a king. Well, yeah, he is. But the way that they were saying it was they were saying he was a king trying to raise up in a kingdom where there was already a king. Anybody remember who that was? Herod. He was already there, right? He was already a king in place. And then number four, he stirs up people by his teaching. Boy, that does that sound familiar? Like, have we heard that in the last month or so about people stirring people up by their teachings? Are they stirring them up? No. They were getting excited. I guess if you want, okay, all right, we'll give them this one. When Jesus came into Jerusalem, the people got excited, right? He rode in on a donkey and they shouted praises. They didn't burn any buildings. They didn't blow anything up. They simply rejoiced when he came in. But do you see how they take a truth and they twist it just a little bit? And because Pilate didn't know the truth, he was convinced of a lie. That's why it's so important that we know the truth. We can learn from Pilate the importance of truth. The first thing is, you have to know who you are in Christ. You have to know who you are in Christ. I want you to take your Bibles and go back to John 17:17. John 17:17. And it says this. You should highlight it and highlight it and underline it and highlight it again. It says this, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Let me say that again. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Now I want you to go back to John 1. I want you to see something super important when it talks about we have to know the truth. John 1:1 says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Who is this? This is Jesus. This is Jesus. So your word is truth. That's why we can say truth was standing in front of Pilate and he didn't recognize it. Do you know truth can be standing right in front of you and you don't recognize it? Why? Because you don't know the word. I can't tell you how many Christians that I come in contact with that you'll ask them, well, what verse are you believing for this situation? I don't know. Well, then we have a problem. We have a problem. If you don't have a truth to stand on, you are going to get pushed over. You're going to get pushed over. If you don't have a truth to stand on, you are going to be pushed over. If you know who you are in Christ, then the lies, you won't be convinced by them. You're going to recognize them. We can see by reading the story, right? We know that the Jewish leaders were lying about Jesus, right? We know that because we've read it. But Pilate didn't know that. And there are things in our lives that we're going to come up and we're going to come into situations, and because of where we're at in the world, man, it looks foggy. It looks foggy. Knowing right from wrong, the way that they word things and the way that they twist it, you're like, gosh, am I on that side or that side? I can't tell. You need to pull this out and ask the Lord, what do you say about it? What is the truth that you say? And that is the truth that you hold on to. And that is the truth that will help you to see who you are in Christ. Don't let someone tell you that you are whatever. No, they don't get to tell you who you are. This tells you who you are. I remember when all the Black Lives Matter stuff happened and all the craziness. I remember Lane was sitting in a class and he came home and he was in tears and he said, "Mom," he said, "they told me that I'm racist, that I can't see my friends because I'm blinded by their color." And he said, "Mom, I've never even seen my friends in light of a color." And he said, "I only see them now because they're shoving that in my face." But they told him he was racist because he was white. They told him he was racist because he had been trained to be that way. He said, "Mom, you've only taught me to love people. What are they talking about?" And so I told him, I said, "Well, what does the word say?" And he said, "Well, I'm a follower of Christ. And I love people like Christ loved me." And I said, "Then that's who you go out and you be. You don't let them tell you who you are. You be who the word tells you to be." Amen? We have to come back to the word because everything else, like I said, the way it's worded now, it seems so foggy. And if you have children or grandchildren, you have to get the truth into them. Amen? We can't just be, "Oh, okay, well, that's great, but, you know, I'm sure God will help you work through it." No, give them a tool. Give them a tool. I tell my kids, what's your weapon? What weapon are we praying with? Because that's how I've taught my kids. I don't want them to be unprepared. We're in a battle, especially in these last days. We are in the battle. If they don't know who they are in Christ, they're lost. Because just one blow of the wind, and they may think, "Oh, that's the truth. Because it sounds like it." No, they're going to go, wait a minute. I know who I am in Christ. I'm more than a conqueror. This can't come against me and affect me because I am Christ. And Christ in me is the hope of glory. I got glory that I'm dwelling in. Amen? I can do all things. There's so many people that are telling our kids they can't. They can't do this. They can't do that. They can't do this. Even in your workplaces, some places are telling you can't do this and you can't do that. But you have to stand up and you have to have a voice and stand up for the truth. A couple weeks ago, well, I guess it's almost been 3 weeks now, 4 weeks, when Charlie Kirk passed away, Steve was in a B&I meeting. And they were going around the room telling everybody, like, why they stood up or why they were doing the things that they did in their life or why they were doing their jobs. And it came to him, and he felt impressed. Nobody had said anything. He's like, "How do you have somebody be assassinated and nobody says anything?" And he said, "I know there were Christians in the room." And he said, "We hear about all the other stuff that goes on." And he said, "So I got bold. And I said, listen, I do what I do because someone's got to stand up for people like Charlie Kirk." And he said, "It was wrong what happened." And he said, "But you know what? It's not just Charlie Kirk." He said, "I would feel this way if anyone in that type of level had been assassinated." And he said, "We can't just blow over this." And he said, "This impacted my life." And he said, "It made me think if you're going to shut up his voice, then you're going to hear mine." And he just shared from his heart. And he got a bunch of trouble. But guess what? B&I has a rule. Don't you love it when you know the truth? See, this is the thing. The world thinks they can push things on us and tell us who we are. But if you know the truth, it what? Sets you free. And the truth is, in B&I, you cannot tell someone that they can't speak about their faith because B&I is based on Christian principles. It is absolutely against their rules. It's a business. Sadie, do you know what it's called? It's a business group. It's for people that are entrepreneurs, small businesses, and they connect everybody. Anyway, so he had somebody that said they wanted him to apologize to the whole group. And he said, "Hey, send me an email and I'll talk to my attorney." quiet. Nobody said anything else, right? And his point wasn't to come in and to be mean. It was simply to say, hey, if we're going to recognize Pride Week, if we're going to recognize all these other things, then we need to recognize someone was assassinated in our country, and that's not okay. In love, just being a light. But if you don't know the truth, then it boxes you in and you're not able to be who God has called you to be. We have to know who we are in Christ. If you want to know who you are in Christ, don't miss Grace Groups tomorrow. Just a little plug. The next thing that we can learn from Pilate is that we have to combat lies only with the truth or the word. Here's something for you. We heard this years ago, a pastor that we were at their church, and they said, don't dialogue with the devil. Don't dialogue with the devil. What does that mean? That means when you're putting on your makeup in the morning, and all of a sudden this thought comes out of nowhere. Remember what that girl did to you? Wasn't that terrible? I mean, you know, so-and-so said that she said that about you. And you're putting on your makeup, and you're getting madder and madder and matter. Why would she say that about me? I thought she was my friend. But you don't even know if she said it, right? It just comes out of nowhere, right? Because that's a dialogue. The devil is trying to get you in a conversation about something that you don't even know if it's true or not. Here's another one. Well, you're never going to be healed because, you know, God doesn't heal people anymore. You've had healings in the past, and so, you know, you've reached your limit. I'm sure God doesn't really care. Do you hear this dialogue that's going on? And we sit there and we go, oh, maybe God doesn't. I wonder if this is going to be that one time. What if this is it? Do you hear how your whole conversation went from maybe he doesn't hear you to you're ending your life? All because of a dialogue that you are having with him. You know what you need to do? I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to do what Jesus did. If it's good enough for Jesus, it better be good enough for you. He said to him this, it is written. But if you don't know the truth, then you are not going to know what was written. That's why it's so important. Here we go, going back again. So important that you know the truth. It's so amazing nowadays. You don't even have to get in your Bible and study. The internet has made it so easy. You can Google healing scriptures, and it'll put up 550 healing scriptures. Anxiety scriptures, 435. I mean, it's everywhere, right? You can find what you need. Whatever it is that you're dealing with, there is a word of truth for you in this book. So don't just leave it. Pick it up. Look up the verse. Don't just look them online. Open your Bible. Highlight it. Write around it. Lindsay's got this cool Bible now that you can write all around it, right? Make notes. This is not fancy. This is not for you just to have so that you just can sit on a shelf and look nice. Make it dirty. I color coordinate. Here, I'll show you. See this right here? I don't know if you can see it. A little tiny. I have colors. So I have color pencils, and each color stands for something. So if it's fear not, it's purple. If it's kids, it's red. If it's healing, it's green. It's just random, just whatever I wanted. Direction is pink. Trust is blue. You highlight it. Why? So when you open it up and you go, oh, a red. Oh, this is a verse about my kids. Yes. Speak the truth over them, right? But if you know the word, then you can use it when he comes against you. So when he comes against you and he brings up that something that somebody did that you've already forgiven them for, but he tries to turn it up in you again, you tell him, I have already forgiven. I forgive them that trespass against me because I want to be forgiven my trespasses. I'm not buying your bag. Mm-mm. Not taking it. You speak the truth back to him. Don't get in the dialogue with him. Amen? We can also look at stay in his presence. Okay, so I want you to see this. Let's go back to John 18. And yes, we're going to do a bunch of page flipping because you need to see it. It's important. Okay, John 18, and it's verse 38. Pilate said to him, what is truth? And listen, and when he had said this, so it's like I'm talking to Nicole. What is truth? And I leave. how is that going to help me if I ask her a question and I leave? That's what Pilate did to Jesus. He asked him, what is truth? And then he left. Can I tell you something? Stay in the presence of Jesus. What would have happened to Pilate if he'd have stayed in the presence of Jesus and Jesus would have answered? Who knows? Pilate could have got saved right there on the spot, but he left the presence of Jesus. Don't leave Jesus's presence. It's important, it's vital that you stay with him. Don't let the things that the enemy is trying to bring against you to get you out of his presence. Psalm 27:14 says this, one of my favorite verses. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. What are you waiting for? The answer. You're waiting for the answer. You pray, you're seeking after him, and when you're done talking, you're done. Anybody ever have one of those conversations before? With somebody, they call you on the phone, they're like, okay, bye. And you're like, I didn't get to say two words in that conversation. But okay, I hope they feel better, you know. I've even had people tell me that, oh, I feel so much better. Okay, I'll talk to you later. I'm like, right, okay. You didn't want to hear what I had to say? Okay. You know, sometimes I feel like that's how the Lord must feel when we come to him in prayer. Okay, Lord, bye. The truth is, you need to stay in his presence and get the answer to your question. And you know what the truth is? A lot of times he leads us here. A lot of times he will actually tell you. I remember, okay, I'll just be honest. I remember I was, when Steve and I, before we got together, the Lord told me I couldn't go to him. I had to wait on him to come to me. And we were older, and so I just felt like it was taking too long. So I thought, I was praying one night, and I was like, Lord, I have this idea. What if I get a group together? And I invite him in a group. And, you know, that would be so great. And then it's not like really him and I, but it's in a group. And I was like on this whole conversation, and I felt like he told me this verse. And I go to the verse, and it says, I have already told you about him. Anybody else want to feel the hair on the back of your neck stand up? I was like, okay, yep, I'm going to wait. All right. But you see, he'll direct you to the truth. I needed to know the truth, and the truth can set you free. But if we don't wait in his presence, if we just tell him all the stuff, then we're not going to get it. We're not going to get the answer. The last thing is, don't give in, keep standing. That's what eventually happened to Pilate. Pilate got plagued over and over and over and over again by the religious people. Do you know when they said, he wanted to release Jesus, and he was releasing Barabbas or Jesus, and he says, you know, which one should I give? And they shouted, Barabbas, give us Barabbas, right? Well, technically speaking, there weren't any real common Jewish people around. It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees and their group that they had hired to come and be in there. So the group that was shouting crucify is not the same ones that were his followers. You got to make sure you know the truth about this, okay? So Pilate was harassed. It says, I think 3 or 4 times he went back out to the Jews and said, guys, okay, I'll whip him. I'll beat him up. And then we'll let him go. And they're like, no, no. He's like, okay, how about we send him to Herod? Because you said he's from Galilee. Okay, we'll send him over there. And then he sent him back. And then he's like, okay, are you guys sure you want to do this? You don't want to. He was trying to convince the Jews not to do this, right? Because he was struggling with it. But finally they said this. He said he's a king. So if you let him live, you're saying he's king in this area. And that scared him. You know why? Because they already had a king. And if you're a governor, guess who you serve? The king. So he gave in to their demands. Wasn't even something I believe he really wanted to do. How do we know? He says, bring me water. I am washing my hands of this man's blood because that's how much I believe this is wrong. His blood's on you, not on me. We can't give in, girls. We can't give in. We can't give in. What does that mean? That means when you're someplace and someone is having a conversation about something that is not true, you can't just walk away anymore. You need to speak up and you need to say the truth. Actually, the truth is whatever the truth is. But what if they say something against me? I probably don't know the whole truth. Well, guess what? They don't know the whole truth either. But at least you're going to bring light where they're bringing darkness. We have to do something, right? We have to step out and do something. We can't stop. We can't be stopped and shut down because of what we're feeling the pressure of. Does that make sense? We have to learn. We have to keep going. We have to keep standing. And sometimes that can be hard. It can make you feel alone. It can make you feel like everybody's looking at you. But you know what? You just have to have my husband's mentality. He went back to B&I the next week, and I called him afterwards, and I said, because we had talked a lot about it, how to handle it, what to do, you know, that kind of thing. And I said, well, how'd it go? And he said, well, he said, I walked in, and one of the guys that actually canceled his pest control because of what was said, V-lined across the room and embraced him and gave him a huge hug, okay? Yeah, huge hug. And Steve, I said, well, what did you do? And he goes, I hugged him back. And I said, how'd everybody else take that? He goes, well, it was that one of those hugs that is the point of uncomfortable. Like, how many more times can you pat me, you know? And he said, he pulled back, and I looked at him, I said, we're good. And he goes, we're good? And he goes, we're good. You see, that's what's happening, is that people are looking, how are you going to respond? Now, if he'd have come in groveling, saying he's sorry, then it would have looked like he'd have done something wrong. But he didn't do anything wrong. He simply stood for the truth, right? And when you stand for the truth and you don't give in, it changes what people see and what people think. Amen? And it was just, to me, it was a beautiful picture. It's a very, he works at a gym. He does he's like a bodybuilder, yes. And Steve said he's a big African-American man, but he's buff. Steve's big, but he's not buff. And his arms, no, don't write that down. No, but you know what I'm saying? He's, okay, I'm not being mean, I'm just saying it's a bodybuilder, you know, like the big legs. Anyway, and I told him, I said, but what a beautiful picture. You have a white man and a black man hugging, and they were at odds the week before. What does that say to people in the room? What does that say? Love conquers all. And when you stand for the truth and you don't give in, it makes a difference. But if you don't know the truth, then you are going to have a hard time standing. I remember when I was younger, my parents taught my brother and I this. They were talking about being in company with people that are not strong Christians, and how that they can't be your best friends. You can be friends with them, but they can't be your best friends. And my thing was always, but I could save them. So my dad said, Shelley, stand on the table. I got on the table, and he's like, okay, now pull me up. And I was like, what? But I was pretty strong, so I thought, yeah, you know. I'm pulling and pulling, and he goes, and I went, what's the truth? It's easier to be pulled off than to pull someone up, right? That's a truth. You have to know the truth. Amen? And so, I didn't know where I went with that. Anyway, so there you go. That was that one. We got to keep standing. So Pilate asked the right question. He just couldn't figure out the answer, even though the answer was standing right in front of him. The truth, the word, the truth was standing right in front of him. When you know the truth, it's revealing. It'll open your eyes to see things you've never seen before. It can give you a key to open doors that you couldn't open before. It sets you free. It delivers. It heals. It's powerful. It's powerful. It's powerful. the truth is. Whatever situation that you're facing, there is a truth in God's word for you. And the enemy will come against it with lies, because he does. Because guess what? He doesn't want you to know the truth. He doesn't want you living in the truth. He doesn't want you sharing the truth. Why? Because then people are set free. So if he can quiet you, if he can silence you, then he wins. I'm tired of him winning. It's time we open our mouths, ladies, and speak the truth. In love, but speak the truth. We have to be in the word daily. We need to run to the word when the enemy tries to bring lies that kill, steal, and destroy. And what does the word say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And when you know the truth, then you'll be able to trust him with your all. I talk to people all the time, and they say, I just don't know if I can trust. I just don't know if I can completely let go and let God in. Because somewhere along the line, there was a truth that was miscued a little bit. Maybe something that they heard in church. Maybe something they experienced. And that's where you have to be so careful that the word is your truth and not experience is your truth. And that it's the word, not grandma's word or aunt's word or somebody else in your past word that they spoke over you that really isn't true at all. Amen? We have to make sure that the word is what we go to. Because when you're trusting someone, truth is important. When do you really open up your heart? When you really feel like you know someone, right? So what's another way of saying that? When I really know the truth about who they are. And is that something that you can know just like that? Not normally. Not normally, right? It's time. It takes time. It's being with someone. Learning the things about them, right? To find the truth. And the same is true with the Lord. If we want to know the truth about him, we have to spend time with him. We have to be in his presence to see the truth for ourselves. And the more time you spend in the word, the more truth you know, then the easier it is for you to trust. So when you reach a situation in your life and you're like, oh man, this is a big step of faith. Is it? Because if you know the truth, then it's not as big as you think. Because the truth is that God has a plan for your life, right? And what kind of plan? Is it a bad plan? It's a good plan. And what does it have? A hope and a future. And there's prosperity in there. There's all these amazing things. So when it really comes down to is trust is easier when you know truth. Trust is easier when you know truth. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and the enemy has told you untruths or half-truths. And maybe you're still believing them. It's going to be really hard to trust the Lord when you built your faith on somebody else's truth. How do you know the difference? A great way to know the difference whether something is the truth or not is to take it to the word and see if it works. Anybody ever do puzzles? I was so excited a couple weeks ago. Sherry Lynn was working on a puzzle with me, and she hasn't done puzzles in a while. But I will tell you this. You cannot make a puzzle piece fit, no matter how hard you want to try. And she tried. There was a couple of them. I'm like, girl, that ain't going in there. Girl, no. No, it's wrong. It's wrong. It's not going in there. She's like, looked at me and goes. She wanted it to go in there, right? But no matter how hard we try, we can't make the lie fit. You can't. And there's some lies that we are trying to make fit even now in our lives that we need to recognize the truth is it's never going to fit. It's never going to work because it's not the truth about you. It's not the truth. So here's some examples. I'm not as beautiful as the woman next to me. Anybody ever felt that before? Anybody ever felt that? Let's be real. Let's be real. I'm not as beautiful as the woman next to me. You know what? Thank goodness. Thank goodness. Because you don't need to be as beautiful as the woman next to you, because you are beautiful. You are beautiful. Psalm 139 says that we were wonderfully and beautifully made. Each of us. Each of us were wonderfully and beautifully made. But do you see how that puzzle piece? The enemy tries to get that in there, tries to make you think that that's who you are. It's not who you are. I could never do what she does. Well, I hope not. You know why? Because Jeremiah tells us that God has a plan for you. And it's not my plan. And it's not Lacey's plan. And it's not Verna's plan. It's your plan. We need to stop looking at the people around us and comparing. But the enemy does that. He takes the untruths and he tries to get us to believe them as truth for our lives. How about this one? Your past will always haunt you. What you did disqualifies you. You know what I say to that? No, it doesn't. My Bible says in John 1:9 that I am cleansed from all unrighteousness when I confess my sin. That's the truth. So when the enemy comes up with something that you've done in the past, you tell him the word and what your future is. We can't let him continue to put that puzzle piece that doesn't belong in our lives. It's time we take the ones that are not right and get them out. Because guess what? There's a true puzzle piece that needs to go in there, and it needs to be in the right place so that we can accomplish. You see, the whole thing about this, the lies about you is to keep you from your destiny. It's to keep you from your calling. It's to keep you from seeing who you truly are in God. And the truth is, he has called each of us just as we are, because he doesn't need the same person with the same gifts to accomplish the same things everywhere. Do you know how many people we would reach? Only one life's worth. We need each of us because we are all gifted with something for the body of Christ. And you may say, well, you know, I remember one time I was praying with a lady about seeing herself as the Lord. And she said, well, I feel like sometimes I'm just a pinky toe. Yeah, a pinky toe in the body of Christ. And I said, well, guess what? Have you ever broken your pinky toe? You have a real hard time walking. And I don't care how much you bandage it, it is difficult to walk. You can't put in shoes. So you do that little, you know, don't anybody touch me. Don't anybody touch me, right? It affects you. So even if you see yourself as a pinky toe, well, at least you're in the body of Christ. And I'm here to tell you, pinky toes make a difference. Amen? We need each of us in the body of Christ. And that is the truth. It's time we lived a life of truth instead of a life with lies. And the way we do that is we take out the Bible, and when a thought comes to you, it's super easy. You take that thought and you hold it captive. But guess what? Not just captive, you capture it, and then you take it to the Word, and you say, what does the Word say? Well, I don't know what verse that is. Guess what? Google it. Google it. If you have a fear, an anxiety, self-complex, whatever it is, you can Google it. And there'll be a list of things, a list of verses that you can go to your Word. Don't just take Google's advice. Go to your Word and see if it's there. And if it's there, you say, ha, that's a lie. The Bible says that's not true about me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't have to wonder if I can do this or not. I can do this. How many dreams have been set aside because you've been convinced by a lie you can't do something? Guess what? These are the last days. If God is calling you to do something, then you need to do it. But it's all going to start with revealing truth or lie. What is truth? Jesus. Jesus is your truth. And he left us this right here, and his Holy Spirit to show us the truth that can change our lives. Amen? And when you know that, trusting becomes so much easier. Because when you know the truth, you can trust the Lord in every situation. Amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I just want to take a moment tonight because I feel like we need to pray kind of like what Pilate prayed. Lord, what is truth? But we need to stay in his presence and let him answer that. Amen? So there may be something that you're dealing with in your heart. Maybe that when I was talking about half-truths or lies or something somebody said about you, it just instantly came to you. You may have even remembered the moment when that was spoke over you. And the feelings that you felt of, is that true about me? Is that who I am? And you've questioned that. I'm here to tell you tonight, it was not the truth about you. It was a lie. And if we let that lie stay there, then the peace that God really has for you, well, peace double. The peace, but also the peace from him, is never going to get there into our hearts. Amen? So I just want you to close your eyes. I just want you to ask that question of the Lord, just by yourself. What is truth? Is there something in my life that I've been believing as a lie and that I've just accepted that and I've gone on with it? But tonight I recognize this is not the truth. And then I want you to see yourself, put that in your hands, that truth or that untruth, I mean, that lie. And I just want you to capture it. And then I want you to lift your hands up and release it. And Father, I thank you that you're coming around the room and you're collecting all the lies. You're collecting all the puzzle pieces that the enemy has tried to shove in our hearts that are not the right pieces. Pieces that have kept us bound, pieces that have kept us from accomplishing the work you've called us to do, pieces that have kept us in such anguish. Father, I feel like there's been anguish in people's lives tonight of not being like someone else, of not measuring up. And tonight, Jesus is just walking around the room, picking up all those pieces. They are not yours anymore. And I believe as you seek him and as you take time to be with him over the next couple days, he's going to give you the right peace. He's going to give you the peace of his word, a truth that will be buried deep inside you that nothing will be able to take away again. And Father, I just thank you right now for your presence. God, we don't want to be like Pilate. We don't want to ask and then run away. We want to be in your presence. We're tired of letting people and circumstances get us to cave in. We want to be women of truth that stand for something. And I just praise you, Father, tonight, that as we open our hearts to the truth that you have for us over the next few days, that we're going to find ourselves in a place of trust that we never dreamed possible. A place, I believe, Father, that's going to open the doors for people in this very room, that dreams that you thought were gone, opportunities that you thought you'd never have, all of a sudden, just like that. Because, Father, when we trust you, then the things that would hold us back from our blessings are gone. And we're able to receive from you. So, Father, I pray just a hedge of protection over every woman's heart here tonight. I pray, Father, for every lie that you're going to be revealing to them, that they're going to quickly capture it with their hands, literally hold it, and then lift it to you. And I pray, Father, as they do that, sometimes, Father, I think you do things in stages so it's not so overwhelming for us. But God, I thank you that you are going to take care of lies that we have had for years. And you're going to replace them with truth. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Just really quickly, I just want to share with you. Just open up and be real. I can be real, right? I remember when I was at YWAM. When I got there, I was older than most of the people there. And I remember when I would introduce myself, I would say, I'm a pastor. And then I'd say, and my name is Shelley. I remember one of the people that were our mentors, he said, why do you do that? I said, what do you mean? He goes, why do you say pastor first and then your name? I said, well, that's what I do. And he said, no, that's a shield that you hide behind. I was like, what? I was like, no, be all righteous, right? But later that night I went and I was praying. And I remember the Lord said, he's right. I was like, what? He's like, because you don't see yourself worthy of somebody wanting to know you. So you put before them something that will be an excitement or a reason for them to reach out to you. And he said, we're done with that. We're done with that. And it was weird because I was praying and I was like, I've been doing it for years. Maybe not pastor, but I would put up my grades, or I would put up this accomplishment, I put up that accomplishment, because I felt like I had to do more, because I didn't see myself as worthy. I remember the Lord said, would you like to see how you see yourself? I was like, I don't know, maybe not. And it was ugly. I'll just be honest. It was ugly. And I thought, that's how I see myself? And he's like, because you won't let me touch you. You hide behind those things, even to me. See, we do that. We hide behind things. And we think that we're fooling God, but we're not fooling God. And when I finally said, you know what, Lord, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to see how you see me. I watched the Lord touch that image that I thought was ugly, and it was. And I watched it just uncover, and it was beautiful. And I was like, is that how you see me? You see me like that? And he said, that's how I see you. It set me free, girls. It literally set me free. Set me free. I remember the next day I went to the mentor, and I said, ask me again. And he said, hey, who are you? I said, I'm Shelley. Very nice to meet you. And he said, somebody had an encounter with Jesus last night. And I said, yes, I did. Amen. Because that's the truth about us. So it's not a time to be hiding. It's not a time, because I think some of you are standing there, well, nobody needs to know. But you know what? Your dad knows. Your heavenly dad knows what you're dealing with. And tonight he's saying, how about we stop hiding behind these things and we come out and be the you I created you to be, because you are beautiful. You are beautiful. Amen? We're going to spend just a couple more minutes. I want you to be brave, because there has to be a moment for each of us where we face the truth. Amen? So if there is something in you tonight and you go, man, I know what she's talking about. I hide behind things because I don't feel like I'm good enough, that people wouldn't want me just because of me. I'm here to tell you tonight that your Heavenly Father wants you, and you are good enough to him. And I want you to take a step and come up here as a statement of, I'm done with the lies. I'm done with feeling like I have to hide. I'm ready to be who God called me to be in these last days. Will you join me? If anybody wants to come up, and let's make that stand and say, I'm ready. I'm ready for the truth. Thank you, Jesus. You do hallelujah again for me? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Shanta de ararabasa tredia. Kirio to ararabashantre. Iri andora rabason tredia sitreke. Iri atotora rabasutre. Shondori ararabasitre. Iri andora rabaku. Sontre dia shontre. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your healing power. Thank you, Jesus, for your anointing. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord, for your truth. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, you see the women that have come up tonight. And I thank you, Father, that you told me not to lay hands on them tonight because you are here. That he's coming through each person up here. And he is touching you with his own hand tonight, saying, "You are mine. You are beautiful. I have called you. I have plans and purposes. So many more than you ever dreamed. And because of your faithfulness to come forward tonight, I am setting you free to walk in the destiny and the fullness that I have for you. People thought they could stop you with their words, but my word is setting you free tonight. You are not the same person you were. You're going to walk out of here lighter. You're going to walk out of here different. You're going to feel different tonight because the King of Glory has said, you're my daughter and my plans for you are better than anything you could have ever imagined. Father, I thank you for the boldness of these women. I thank you, Father, for anointing them tonight. I thank you, Father, that what you have taken out, what they have released to you, God, you are filling up with your truth. They will be full and overflowing tonight. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father. They are not captives anymore. They are set free and set on fire for you. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the work that you have begun. And God, I'm so excited to see what you're going to do in each one of these women's lives, Father. We praise you in advance, Father, for the testimonies and the miracles that we're going to hear about. And we give you praise and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen.